You're listening to Red Eye on Vancouver Cooperative Radio, CFRO, at 102.7 FM.
June 28, 2009, the Honduran military seized the democratically elected president and forcibly transported him out of the country. A popular resistance immediately mobilized to reverse the coup and demanded a constituent assembly to draft a new national constitution. The coup was backed by the United States, eager to reestablish its domination of Latin America. In November of last year, the coup makers tried to legitimate their coup by orchestrating an election to establish a new coup president. The election was boycotted by a large percentage of the Honduran people. But since then, the world media has left Honduras and enveloped the country in a blanket of silence. Oliver Valladares is a Honduran citizen who was there through all these events and has recently returned to Canada. He is determined to remove the blanket of silence and give us news of what is happening in Honduras. Oliver joins me in the studio. Good morning, Oliver, and welcome to Red Eye.
Good morning.
This week, I read in the Nicaraguan press that a Honduran journalist was assassinated as he left a television studio. Could you tell us, is this a pattern of assassination? What's happening with journalists in particular in Honduras?
Right now, the free speech is so going through difficult times. Right now, the journalists are being targeted because they are opposed to the system, to the factory regime. In approximately a month, six journalists has been killed by the death squad. The last one, 4 days ago, was a very popular gentleman, Georgino Orellana. He was coming from the TV station. He went outside and then, for no reason, nobody steal nothing from his pocket. No, he just came to kill him. And the Oscar Albert, who's the boss of the police, right away was saying that, no, it's normal killing, like there's no related.
It's not politics. Is this what they say with all the assassinations of these journalists?
Exactly. Before that, they killed Manuel de Jesus Juarez. He was come out from another program, from Olancho. It was Juticalpa, Olancho, that's the province in the center. The same thing was coming from this radio station. In that time, two of them was killed, Manuel de Jesus Juarez and Jose Bayardo Mairena. And Naum Palacio, the same thing.
And what is it about these? Do these journalists have something particular in common in relation to their opinions about democracy, about the coup?
Exactly. Because the main media, like the mainstream media, they don't talk about that. They don't talk about, you just said that nothing happened. This, like a co-op radio right now, they are the voices for the people, the countryside people, they don't have a voice. So they use the co-op radio to denounce what the regime was doing, what the army is doing right now. It's militarized Honduras. If you go right now to Honduras, militarized armies all over the country. So nobody said nothing about that, only these journalists. And it's like here, like you, the mainstream media, they don't say nothing. It's exactly the same thing in Honduras. So these six journalists, they are our voices. And they want to shut down the resistance movement voices.
There was another report, and this is a little bit back, but since the coup, of in the Caribbean region of Honduras, that the military was reported to be accusing peasants in that area of being armed terrorists, and they were searching for weapons and so on. What's the story behind those events?
They always try to put us like criminals. Since the Celaya starts to move in his toward the campesinos. I am a campesino, by the way. Since he moved his policy to the campesinos,
to be sympathetic,
sympathetic with the campesinos, and when the coup happened, this we have a huge march, huge manifestation of people, a river of people. Always they try to criminalize us. We are criminals. We are guerrillas, being trained by guerrillas, by the forces from South America.
This is what the military
said. That's what they say. And we call them, coming here, we don't have nothing. We have only sticks, rocks. That's our weapons. But when they say weapons, but we don't have nothing. It was a settled with the campesino. Then they didn't find nothing. It was only propaganda. Only to show the world they are against the campesino. It was organizing to war against the government, to have a fight. The only fight we have is our weapons and our ideas.
The ideas are our weapons, eh? Was this, in this Caribbean region, was there a dispute over land or some dispute that the campesinos were trying to regain land? Or what was there no dispute here? It's just the accusation that these people who were against the coup are simply terrorists and the military was trying to intimidate them? Was there some underlying social conflict in the area?
It was like a 5,000 acres of land was removed to the campesinos, and they put a base in the 80s to train Salvadorians army and also to anti-Sandinista for Nicaragua. They called Crane. And then that land is supposed to return back to the campesino, but another corrupt president called Rafael. This president gave it to the powerful people, to big corporation, and the campesinos they never stop asking for the land. And then when the president Manuel Zelaya, because he's toward the campesino, he said, we have to fix it. And he was trying to do it when the president was moved from power, so this campesino end up in the air with no paper, no land. And so the powerful people, who his name is Miguel Facuse, is a Honduran from Middle East, and René Morales from Nicaragua, and Jaime Morales from Nicaragua, and René Cerrato. Those persons are very powerful. They're owner of the land. And they have plantation of to extract oil. This fight is because the land. People, they don't have food. This land belongs to them. And was removed by force and by illegal means. And unfortunately, they got for example, one gentleman, he was killed, this journalist, very strong voice, Naum Palacio. He was killed because he was saying that this land belonged to the campesinos. And three campesinos was killed in that area too. For Toro, since the 80s, have been six or seven campesinos being killed.
So the story behind this propaganda about terrorists, about armed with machine guns, etc., people, is really a struggle over land that was taken for a military base to fight in Salvador and to fight against the Sandinistas in Nicaragua. And now people trying to regain their land then they say, "Oh, you're nothing but terrorists."
And that's one way to terrorize us, to intimidate us. We feel so powerful because they have all the weapons. They have the army. They treat like criminals. They think they're fighting against a group of persons that are so heavy armed, but we have machetes and boots, you know,
for farming.
For farming. Yeah. That's our weapon to survive.
The resistance has continued in organizing in Honduras. What is the focus of the work of the resistance right now in Honduras? What are they demanding? How are they organizing?
It's beautiful the way we organize. Our society was so fermented, very divided, but now we came on one block. We are united with religion, different kind of religion, different parties, social movement, and the gay community. All of us, we are not discriminated, sexual orientation, race, color. We are in one group. This is the beauty. And come together like a family because we are human. We are 80% of the population is campesino. They are farmers. Or two, three, four generations, pretty much all of us were farmers. And so they say, we have to do something. And only you and I, we can do something. And then we're looking to the constituent, a new constitution. And that we're working right now. We will ask to this factor regime, Porfirio Lobo, on the 29th, the same question that the President Zelaya was removed, asked for a new constitution, a new chart that the women have voices. We want voice for the seniors. We want voice for the gay community. We want voice for the black community. We want for native people. It's like a Charter of Rights and Freedom of Canada. And that's why we're asking, maybe you will ask me, a solidarity to the grassroots here, because the big corporation, the one just looking for profit. We're looking for a grassroots movement for solidarity. I think Honduras is not far away from here. We're just a few miles. And we can stray our arm and help those countryside farmers, or farmers that they want, to provide food for their children, to have a better future for the family, to have a medicine for the hospital, to have a school, and that's not terrorism.
Many places, or several places, countries in Latin America, Venezuela, Bolivia, Ecuador, have gone through this effort to restructure their constitution, to give make their constitution open to the participation of the ordinary people of their country, instead of just being a document which is limited to supporting the power of the rich and the military. I understand that on the anniversary of the coup, you're trying to develop a process of polling. Could you tell us a little bit about that?
We are organizing all over Honduras. We have a coordination in Tegucigalpa. So right now, we are concentrated, all this group, all this divided society coming one block, put our ideas in one, and we want this constitution to work to the campesinos, the whole society. And we don't need an army, for example. We need a very educated police. And we want to, for example, check the criminal record of our political leaders, if it's a corrupt. So we want to incorporate in a new constitution all those ideas. And right now we're asking at least 2 million signatures by the 29. And it's surprising that people are already, we have a lot right now. I think we will reach more than the 2 million. And that's our project in this moment.
Well, thank you very much, Oliver, for coming in. And we certainly wish you the best in spreading the word about the realities of Honduras.